Get all the honor. Praise God. Turn with me to the book of Genesis if you have your Bibles. Genesis chapter 5 is where I'd like to preach to us from. While you're turning, I'd like my wife to testify and maybe greet the congregation. She usually don't say much, but I want her to greet you here tonight. Hallelujah. Book of Genesis, the 5th chapter. I like to begin with verse 22. Very familiar territory here. Genesis 5, verse 22. The Bible said, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Okay, let's read that once again. "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Praise God. Man, I'd like to do it just like that, wouldn't you? That's my goal in life, to do it just like that. Praise God. To walk with God until God takes me. Praise God. Did you know there's a lot of people that have lost out right down at the end of the race? Old man told me, wrinkled up face, trembling hands. The twinkle just about gone from his eyes, so old. He said, "Brother Teague, don't ever convince yourself that you reach a place where the devil quits fighting you." He said, "So far, what I've experienced, looks to me like he's going to fight me right down to the end until I make the crossing." Come on now. I believe he's got men that and women that one time were great in his trophy case, that pointed his imps and his demons and say, "Look at here what I done." They lived all their life for Christ, but failed him right down at, they believed me right down at the end. I want to walk with God till I just walk right on out of here, don't you? Just walk right on into those pearly gates, through those pearly gates, till my feet hit the streets of gold. Praise God. Let's talk about walking with God. Would you lift your hands and pray? Ask the Holy Ghost to help us here. Father, we love you. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for grace and compassion. Meet with us here tonight. God, do that work that only you can do. Accomplish your good will, Lord. Father, we'll thank you. We'll praise you. We'll glorify you for it. In the name of Jesus, oh Lord, help us. Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You can be seated for a little while if you'd like. You know, I got to looking at this and I got to searching. The Bible has very little to say about Enoch and the life that he lived. There are other Bible characters from the Old Testament all the way throughout the New Testament that the Bible has quite a lot to say about. It has a great deal of information about the life they lived, details of intimate things that took place in their life. Enoch is not one of those Bible characters. The Bible had very little to say about this man Enoch. But my, how powerful what the Bible did have to say about Enoch should affect us And I read through this. It began to affect me. Now I thought about a man that walked with God. And that's the epitaph that he left behind. That you know, if he would have had a tombstone, that would have been engraven on the granite of his tombstone. Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Hallelujah. One sentence, but what a powerful testimony it is to leave behind. I've made up my mind when I leave this world, I'd like to leave a footprint behind, if I can say it that way. And you understand what I'm talking about. I don't mean a big name, and I don't necessarily mean leaving a big ministry behind, but I would like to have an impact on somebody's life in my generation as a preacher of the gospel, as a man who is endeavoring to live by faith. Hallelujah. In other words, I'd like for somebody to be able to file by me when I'm the special guest of honor laid out in front of the congregation flat on my back. I'd like for somebody to be able to look down on me and say, I knew him. He walked with God. Hallelujah. I'd like for the ones that know me better than anybody. I'd like for my wife to be able to testify to somebody. I was with him every day. I was with him all the time. What you've seen at church is exactly what he was at the house. You know, he walked with God. Hallelujah. How many believes that you and I can walk with God just like Enoch walked with God? I believe that with all of my heart. I got to looking through the Bible in my mind. I got to racing. I got to reading various different things. And you know, there's a lot of men, a lot of women as well, with powerful testimonies all through the Word of God. And I got to thinking about great testimonies. I couldn't help but to think about Noah. We mentioned Noah just briefly this morning, but my, what a testimony that man of God had. You know what the Bible said concerning Noah? Said he moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Amen. Oh, what a testimony to have. You know, in reality, what the Bible teaches us about Noah, number one, he was a man who heard the voice of God. Number two, he was a man who believed what God told him. And number three, he not only heard and believed, but with godly fear, what he heard and believed put him to action. And it saved his family, praise God. It's one thing to hear it. It's one thing to say you believe it. And it's another thing to live your life accordingly, praise God. That's what Noah did, brother. It was not easy cutting logs in the gopher wood forest. Come on, say amen. It wasn't easy gathering pitch down at the tar pit. Peter said he was a preacher of righteousness. It wasn't easy, amen, gathering up congregations, jumping up on a stump and preaching to them, it's going to rain. It's going to rain, praise God. Better get your house in order. It's getting ready to rain. It wasn't easy to suffer through the mocking, the scoffing, and the ridicule. But he kept preaching day after day, kept building day after day. What a testimony. Amen. He believed God. Well, I'd like to leave that kind behind, wouldn't you? I'd like to move with godly fear. I'd like to prepare what's necessary for the saving of my house. Amen. And I got to thinking about Moses. What a testimony. Moses, the Bible said something about Moses that it would never ever say about another man that walked in shoe leather. The Bible's had something to say about Moses that it would never say about another prophet. It would never say about another human being. The Bible said the law came by Moses. Praise God. Woo, what a testimony to lead all of them Jews out of Egyptian bondage. Amen. To find yourself on a mountaintop while they're still down in the valley. God's called you to come up a little bit higher. Amen. To stand there as that cloud and that thick darkness begins to surround that mountaintop and to hear the voice of God. Amen. And out of that cloud, Moses, amen, with his own eyes, saw the finger of God write the Ten Commandments on the two tables of stone. Come on here. And when he come back down off of that mountain, he had God's commandments right in his hands. Come on now. The Bible said the law came by Moses. What a testimony. Amen. I got to thinking about David. We've heard a lot about David being a man after God's own heart. We've heard preachers talk about him humbling himself under the mighty hand of God in times when he would fail and falter and sin. For example, Nathan come knocking on the door of the palace and said, "Thou art the man." David humbled himself and he repented of his sin and he ran to God. He was a man after his own heart. But that's not all the Bible said about David. The Bible said he served his generation and fell on sleep. Hallelujah. Oh, what a testimony. I'd like to leave that behind, wouldn't you? Amen. He served his generation. Amen. God got to dealing with me. God got to talking to me. He asked me, what am I really doing to be a servant in my generation? Hallelujah. Am I really serving my generation? This has got to be more than making a living from church after church after church. It's got to be more than putting on a show. It can't be a performance. Come on now. Not if I'm going to be effective. Not if I'm going to do exploits for the kingdom of God. It's got to be God through me. God in me. And the same holds true for you. Whether you're a traveling preacher or a Sunday school teacher or just a faithful church member. Amen. We've got to serve our generation. Amen. If we're going to hear him say, well done. We're living in that time when there's not very many who are willing to serve. And this generation wants to be served. I talked about my dad's generation this morning. I'll tell you, even my generation, I was born in 67. So all through the early 70s, all through the 70s, I was just a kid. And I guarantee you, if we piled in the car, Daddy had an old Rambler. Anybody remember them old Rambler cars? Nash Rambler, ain't that what they was? And you talk about seat belts and car seats for babies. Let me tell you about Daddy's Rambler. It had holes rotted out in the back floorboard, rusted out so big. When I was a boy, I'd gather gravel out of the driveway and put them in my pocket so I could drop them out that hole going down the road. Hallelujah. Come on now. Amen. Listen, if we piled in Daddy's Rambler and went to town, I guarantee you it wasn't to go to a restaurant. It wasn't to go to the fish house or the steak house. Amen. Listen, we was in high cotton if we went to Burger King. That didn't happen that often. Come on, say amen. That didn't happen that often. Now we're in a generation, they constantly grumble about what they don't have. They're so eat up with covetousness and the lust of their own heart that they can't even see what they've been blessed with. They're continually striving for more and more and more and more. They'll take overtime and miss church on Sunday just to get more, more, more. Come on now. They'll take overtime, miss midweek prayer meeting just to get more, more, more. And when they get it, they're unthankful. Come on now. Not even grateful to the God, amen, that blessed them with it or gave them the strength to get it. Come on now. We're living in a generation who wants to be served, but they know very little about serving one another. Amen. He served his generation. I told you this morning I like to be observant. I like it, you know. I told you already, we tried our hand at pastoring. I believe it made me a better evangelist. Hallelujah. There was times before I pastored, I'd hook my truck to that trailer, and I'd look over at my darling wife pulling out the driveway of the church and say something like this: if I was pastoring this bunch, I'd tell you what I'd do. Come on now. But upon having pastored, she has not heard that come out of my mouth. Come on, say amen. When you walk a mile in them shoes, it's funny. Everybody knows how to do it. Better, a little better than you. Nobody wants to do it, but they can tell you how to do it. Come on now. I'll tell you something. I'm convinced that we are called to serve one another. We're called to serve. Listen, how in the world can you say you love God if you can walk by a chewing gum wrapper in the church and not bend over and pick it up? How in the world can you say, I love God, love the church, love the people of God more than I love anything else, and the church be in disrepair, and you're saving your money to go to Six Flags or Carowinds, or are you going to Pigeon Forge or Myrtle Beach? Come on, say amen. You've got a cabin in the mountains and a trailer down at the coast. Come on now. And the church is in disrepair. How can we say that we love God? Amen. We've got to serve one another. Serve one another. Sister Tegan and I was preaching once at this church, and the bathroom smelled so bad that we went and bought the stuff to clean the bathrooms. It's right at the door of the church. We cleaned the bathrooms because I was ashamed. We were ashamed. We had friends that was coming. We didn't want our friends to walk into that smell as soon as they come through the door. What do you reckon was wrong with that crowd? Huh? Oh, they could shout. They could run the aisles. They could talk in tongues. Come on now. How many knows that ain't what it's all about? I'm glad for that. That's the icing on the cake. But all of that sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, if you don't have the love of God in your heart that will cause you to serve. Amen. Oh, God. Some followed him for the fishes and the loaves. But when he tightened down on them, many, many forsook him. All they wanted was the blessing and the benefit of being called by his name. Come on now. All they wanted was just to be in the crowd when the miracles was being handed out, the healings was taking place. But when it came time to serve, not very many people was signing up. Ain't that right? He served his generation. Fell on sleep. I thought about the Apostle Paul and the testimony that he left behind. He himself, under the unction of the Holy Ghost, addressed himself as a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I got to thinking about that, chewing on it. You know, that's what I'd like to be. I'd like to be a bondservant of Jesus Christ. I'm striving to be a bondservant. I want to be bound to him. Praise God. Not because I have to be, but because I want to be. Come on here. I believe Paul was saying, I'm here. I belong to Jesus. It ain't because I don't have anything else to do. It's not because I don't have anywhere else to go. I'm right where I want to be. This is where I long to be. I'm his bond servant. He's the master and I'm the slave. He's the king and I'm the servant. Come on now. Amen. I want to be his subject, praise God. Submitted under subjection to his will and his authority for my life, a bond servant of Jesus Christ. Thought about some of these other people I've read about, worldly people, folks that were not godly at all, people that were not Christian. Alexander the Great, he came before Christianity, came to planet Earth. He conquered much of the world. And reading a book after a man writ about his life, one man said that when Alexander the Great thought he had conquered the last nation to be conquered, that he sat down and wept because there was no more territory to conquer. Come on now. He was far from being a godly man. Died in his early 30s. His daddy was the king, and that's how he became the king. Listen, he was a warrior king that took over everything that he came in contact with. But I got the musing in my heart about that worldly man having such a hunger, such a drive, such a thirst for worldly things, that when he thought all of his conquering had run out, he sat down and he put his face in his hands and he wept and he sobbed because he was so heartbroken. I said, oh God, if a worldly man can be moved to tears by carnal things, what about me? Amen. How should I hunger and thirst after spiritual things, spiritual heights, spiritual places that I've never been to before? How should I thirst and hunger? I'm telling you, we all ought to weep, amen, and ask God to take us to a deeper place, take us to a higher height. Hallelujah. They said of George Washington that he was first in war. He was first in peace. He was first in the hearts of his countrymen. He was not a general during that Revolutionary War where our nation freed themselves from the tyranny of Great Britain. He was not a general that would point to the soldiers and say, sick them. Get in yonder, boys, and get them. Go after them. He was first in war. Come on now. He'd ride on that horse. A lot of them was white. He'd ride on them horses, ride out onto the battlefield, and many times he'd be leading the charge, brother. I've read stories about him. I forget which battlefield it was. You'll remember what I'm talking about. I remember reading there was 3-4 horses at least shot out from under him in that one battle. When the battle was over, there was, I believe, 4 or 5 bullet holes in the coat that he was wearing, but not one scratch on his flesh. Come on now. They'd shoot his horses out from under him, and he'd go get him another and climb up on it and continue to lead the charge. Come on now. First in war. But listen, he wasn't just about the blood and guts of the battlefield. The writer said he was first in peace. Amen. He was willing to sit down at the peace talks. He was willing, amen, to lead a peaceful life. But not only was he first in war and first in peace, the writer said he was first in the hearts of his countrymen. Even now, hundreds of years after he's dead and buried, I'm telling you, his bones are probably dust by now. Amen. His image is still on the front of our dollar bill. He's still on the quarter. Come on, say amen. I'm telling you, say George Washington in America, and everybody knows who you're talking about. If he could have such courage and such zeal for worldly things, what courage should I have? What zeal should drive me in spiritual things? Come on, say amen. Huh? You know, a lot of these, it's sad when the world gets to the place that they're outdoing the church. It's sad. It's sad when the world is more manly than the church. Come on, say amen. It's sad. I'm going to throw this in here. It's on my mind right here. I'm just going to say it. I was reading last week or the week before last that the Chinese have a problem. They've come to the conclusion their boys are too effeminate. When they grow up, become teenagers. When they become young men, they're not masculine enough. And so they've passed a curriculum, an academic curriculum in the 4th and 5th grade. They're teaching their little boys now on what it means to be masculine, how to be a man. Come on now. That same week, I believe it's last week, just a day or two later, I read where there's colleges in America, amen, who believes our men are too masculine. As a matter of fact, they called it toxic masculinity, and they're actually literally teaching courses in colleges now on how to be softer and more approachable by the opposite sex. Come on now. Hey, they're not walking in the circles I've been in. Hey, come on now. You know the Bible never said you actually have to be homosexual in order to go to hell. Amen. All you have to do is have homosexual tendencies. Just get effeminate and soft. Come on, say amen. And you make yourself unfit for heaven. Hey, I was preaching in a Jamaican church in Orlando, Florida years ago, and one of them young brothers preached the service before I got up. Man, he got shook loose. He said, hey, brethren, if you don't want your little boys to shout like a woman in church, then you need to let them see you shouting like a man ought to shout. And praise God. Come on, say amen. I like that. Hallelujah. I said I like that. Glory to God. Amen. Listen. Amen. I want to have a drive. I want to have a zeal to do right. Zeal to do right. I know I got sidetracked right there. We're talking about walking with God. Walking with God. All of these testimonies, these biblical testimonies, Noah, Paul, and these the rest of them, Moses, what great testimonies. But there could be none greater than Enoch's. And Enoch walked with God. Woo! Amen. Praise God. That's experience to have. That's the one to seek after. An experience of a daily walk with our Lord. Come on now. In the Bible, there's several different references about walking with God. I found one over in the book of Genesis, chapter 17 and verse 1. The Bible said that God spoke to Abram. When Abram was 99 years, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the Lord, the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I know we teach and we preach, and there's a certain truth to it when we say that we're not supposed to get out ahead of God. But listen to what God told Abram. He said, walk thou before me, walk before me, and be thou perfect. Understanding of what God was saying to Abram. Get out in front of me, son. Put one foot in front of the other and live for me. But don't you forget, I'm right behind you, scrutinizing every step you take. I'm watching you, son. I'm looking at you. Come on, say amen. And while you're walking before me in the knowledge that I'm watching you, something's going to happen in you. He said, be thou perfect. Come on, say amen. I know my generation don't like that. The brother was in the book of Matthew chapter 5 this morning. I don't want to mess his next week's Sunday school lesson up. He's going to tell us about six things and where Jesus tightened down and why he was different than the Pharisees. Jesus said, except your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Come on now. And then he talked about anger, being angry with your brother without a cause. That's tighter than thou shalt not kill. I guarantee you that. Come on here. Then he talked about, adultery. It's not really adultery. The only adultery is not, laying down in the bed with someone that's not your spouse. But when you look at them and you begin to lust after them in your heart, Jesus said, guilty. Come on now. That's a little tighter than thou shalt not commit adultery. Come on here. And on and on and on. He talked about loving one another. He talked about walking with God, obeying the voice of God. Come on now. And then right down at the end of that exhortation, he said, be thou perfect. Even as thy Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now I know, listen, I hadn't done as long as some of you, but I ain't a greenhorn either. Now I know my generation, we like to shrug our shoulders in times of failure or just outright sin and rebellion and say, well, nobody's perfect. Come on now. That's just an excuse. You know what an excuse is, don't you? It's the skin of the truth stuffed full of a lie. And it ain't going to hold on the day of judgment. Ain't that right? There might be a little sliver of truth all around that, but it's filled with a lie. Come on, say amen. Huh? And that's not going to keep you in right relationship with God on the day of judgment. He does want us to be perfect. All through the New Testament, he exhorts us to be perfect. Now, I know, I can tell by looking at you, looking at me already, I'll never be perfect in your eyes. I've already sweat too much to suit some of you. I spit all over the microphone cover and it flies everywhere. You're hoping I'll stay up here and not get out there. Come on now. And I part my hair on the wrong side. My eyes is the wrong color. I'm a little too round in the middle. I'll never be perfect. You'll never be perfect in my eyes either. But how many believes we can be perfect before him? Yes, we can. We're striving for perfection among one another. But I believe there's a place that God can bring you where he can perfect you in his eyes, and you can be doing it right, brother. You won't have to worry about struggling along. You won't have to constantly fight for victory. There's a place in Christ where you can fight from victory, praise God. The victory will already be abiding on the inside of you because it was won on Calvary. Come on, say amen. He's trying to perfect us. One way he does it is when we walk before Him with the understanding He's watching me. I read what the psalmist said years ago when I first read it, and this is how it come to me. I've read commentary after commentary. Can't get anybody to agree with me. But this is just how the Spirit of God ministered it to me. Psalmist talked about God knowing our thoughts that are afar off. He said, "Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising." Now this is what the Spirit of God said to me. I know every time you sat down on me, and I know every time you rise up against me. Huh? I know you're down. Now I know. He knows every time I sit down in a chair, every time I get up, He knows my coming, my going. He knows. But God spoke to me and said, every time you've sat down on me, I've marked her down. I know it. Every time you've rose up against me. Oh, don't sit there and look at me like you ain't never done it. If He ever told you to do something and you didn't, you just rose up against Him. He ever told you to run around the church when the Spirit of God was moving and you didn't? He knows you're uprising. He knows you're downsetting. Come on, say amen. He knows. He ever told you to go to somebody and make it right, even though it wasn't your fault, and you pooched out your lip and you pouted around, you convinced yourself, I didn't start this. I ain't got to make this right. God made a record. He's keeping a record of all that. You know, He wants us to get so tender, amen, so honest, so transparent in His sight that He is perfecting us. And that happens when we walk before Him. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 4, there's a walk of God, a walk after God, a walk of obedience. Listen to what the Bible said. Moses is speaking to a new generation of Israelite. They're about to cross over the Jordan River and take Canaan land by storm. Listen, they was funeral directors pretty much 40 years in the wilderness. Everybody over 20 died. They're digging grave after grave after grave after grave. Mama's in the wilderness buried. Daddy, grandma, grandpa, aunts and uncles, they all died in the wilderness. Now God calls them all together. Has Moses called them all together just before Moses is taken off the scene, out of the picture? He said, "Man of God, I want you to remind them of all that I've told you." That's where we get to the book of Deuteronomy. The Jews call it the book of remembrance. Some call it the second law, because there's nothing new revealed in the book of Deuteronomy. It's only a rehearsal of what God has already said. And it was specifically for that generation that's going over into Canaan. God speaks to them in Deuteronomy 13 and 4 and says, "Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice, and ye shall serve Him and cleave unto Him." He said, "Ye shall walk after the Lord your God." Come on now. Amen. There's a lot to walking with Him, folks. I believe we can be like Enoch. I believe we can walk with God, but we got to learn how to walk before Him and let Him perfect us. And we got to be obedient in walking after Him wherever He leads us. We've got to cleave to Him. We've got to submit our will to His will. Come on now. You remember Jesus left us the perfect example in the Garden of Gethsemane when He prayed, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." He was about to drink that cup to the dregs. Come on now, to the very bottom. Amen. And I've heard men say that He was wrestling with His humanity. I'm not going to get into all of that here tonight. Listen, I believe what was happening, Christ was praying to leave us an example. If there's any other way but this way. Now, why or what could make the lover of men's souls shy back in a moment from the perfect will of the Father? I'm glad you asked that. Take all the sin you've ever committed, every little white lie, every out and out rebellion against God, every time you stole something that wasn't yours, every time you looked at something and lusted after it in your heart, every sin you've ever committed. Put it in a cup and take it and press it to the lips, the pure, sinless lips of the Lord of glory. But wait a minute. Let's don't just put yours in there. Let's put yours and mine. Let's put all your whole families and me and my whole families. Oh, but it got bigger than that. Let's put the sins of everybody that ever has been born in North Carolina or the Southeast. Wait a minute. Everybody in America. Hold on. Everybody that's ever been born on planet Earth or ever will be born on planet Earth. Let's just put all of it in that cup and press it to his beautiful lips. Say, you know what he done? He said, nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. Come on now. Father, I'll drink this to the bottom if that's the way it's got to be. Amen. You know, the Bible said he was slain from before the foundation of the world. He knew what was about to happen. Listen, it's easy for us a half a world away and 2,000 years later to read it in hindsight and rejoice over what he'd done. But see him there. He's in Gethsemane's garden. Amen. Judas is already betraying him. His sweat is as great drops of blood. He's agonizing before the Father. And the Father passes him the cup. And he begins to drink it. Woo! Praise God. Amen. He's given us an example of our will dying so that God's will can live in us. I want to tell you something. These preachers in our generation that have come along and tried to convince us getting saved is the easiest thing you'll ever do. You get saved, you're going to be rich. You get saved, you're going to... Listen, I've seen some of them... Oh, God, help me right here. I feel like calling them names, but I ain't going to. I'm going to refrain from that tonight. If God will help me. I've seen some of them. I preach in very few of them kind of churches anymore. But I've heard some of them testify about going down to the Mercedes dealership with their bottle of oil and smearing it on and claiming that in the name of Jesus. Come on, say amen. Woo! You know, they preach that gold dust is falling out of their chandeliers. God's filling their teeth with gold. Come on, say amen. And I tell you something about the God of the Bible. Barnum and Bailey don't own him, brother. He no sideshow. He ain't in the business of putting on sideshows. Come on, say amen. Everything God does is on purpose, and he's got a good holy reason to do it. I guarantee he ain't filled no teeth with gold. Come on, say amen. Not for that bunch anyhow. Can you shout right there, somebody? Amen. Listen, you could, you know, they talk about the, amen, that name it and claim it and the power of positive thinking. If the doctor diagnoses you with cancer, you can tell yourself you ain't got it from now till you curl up and die, and you can die with it. Come on now. That's not a teaching of the Bible. That positive profession, that's not a teaching of the Bible. The Bible said, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Come on now. You got to confess it. You got to realize I've got a need in my body, and you got to humble yourself in front of the church and call the elders to anoint you and pray the prayer of faith. But he said, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if he's committed any sin, it shall be forgiven him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Give the Lord a praise right here. Thank you for your good word, Lord. The fact of the matter is, if you're going to live for God and you're going to walk after him, he's going to lead you through some hard places. I heard somebody talking not long ago about coming up on the rough side of the mountain. You know what he said? He said, I'm glad he's put me on the rough side because I got some rocks and some roots and some stumps to grab to and help climb my way. He said, I'm sure glad I ain't over on the slick side. Come on now. It could get worse. My grandma never was a Christian. But she had some good things to say sometimes. You know what my grandma told me? She said, when you think you've just got it bad, you just get to looking around. You'll find somebody that's got it a whole lot worse than you do. One man said he thought it was a pitiful thing that he was as old as he was and didn't have any shoes. And then he saw a man without any feet. Come on, say amen. There's somebody out there got it worse than you do. But you know about us and being the children of God. God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. The master promises he would go with us always, even to the end of the world. There's people in this service tonight that know about the agony of walking after God. There was a preacher right here among you, wasn't there? Angel, that's your name. Angela. Huh? Boy, it's hard. She's, in my opinion, way too young for her husband to leave here. But I'm not God. Evidently, God said his work was through. God took him on to his reward. Huh? That's got to be hard. But what a consolation knowing that God's been right with you every step of the way. He's perfecting you. He's teaching you to cleave to him and obey him. You're walking after him. You know what will happen? After a while, maybe it's already happening. You keep walking after him, and after a while, you're going to get right up to where he is. And just like Enoch, you're going to be walking with God. Come on, say amen. Going to be walking with God. Huh? I've seen a lot of people lose out because the place got rough. Amen. And they begin to grumble and they begin to complain and they begin to look around and the devil put bitterness in their heart. Amen. And they begin to look at everything else, how better than them everybody else had it. And they died bitter away from God. Come on, say amen. I'm telling you, you can get bitter, you can get better. The choice is yours. Now, again, guarantee you it'll get better and better and better if you just keep walking after God. I read, I know this is almost foreign to my generation, but I read in this book that there was a group of people of whom the world was not worthy. Come on, say amen. I'm talking about Holy Ghost people, God fearing people. People that did everything just like God wanted them to do it. And they wandered in sheepskins, destitute. Come on, say amen. They were sawn asunder. They'd go to bed hungry at night. They'd get up in the middle of the night cold and naked. Come on, say amen. Amen, but they died looking for the promise. Praise God. They died in faith, walking after God. Oh, lift your hands and ask God to help us here. They died walking after God. Hallelujah. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. Ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. When God gets us to the place where we're willing to walk before him on the path of perfection, and he teaches us to submit ourselves to his will, and we train ourselves to walk after him in obedience. Amen. Keeping his word, following him. David said, he took me down through the valley of the shadow of death. But he wasn't sad when he said, that wasn't a sad song. If all you can get is a funeral sermon out of Psalm 23, you need to go home, read it again and again and again. It's a song of victory. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Praise God. Woo! Yes, hallelujah! The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Praise God. If we're going to have these experiences in our life and know what it is to walk before God, to walk after God, and finally to walk with God, we've got to do some things ourselves. I looked it up. I'm interested sometimes, those Old Testament names especially. A lot of those mothers named their children, those mothers and fathers named their children according to the will of God. God knew that in the days ahead he was going to use their life, and their name had meaning. It had purpose. I looked up Enoch in the Hebrew. You know what Enoch means? Dedicated. Come on now. Dedicated. Don't convince yourself you can walk with God without dedication. You got to be dedicated, huh? Walking with God implies harmony with God, friendship with God, fellowship with God. Amen. And if you're going to do that, it's going to take extreme dedication. My blood pressure went up. I'll just be honest with you. I claim to be a sanctified man. My blood pressure went up. I read years ago where there's a comedian, an actress in Hollywood. She's a lesbian, married to a woman, raising a child without a man involved. Her name's Rosie O'Donnell. You know what old Rosie said? Rosie said years ago, I read it in the USA Today. She said, fundamental Christianity is just as dangerous to America as fundamental Islam. Boy, my blood pressure went up. I got mad. And then I got thinking about it. And I said, hallelujah. Oh, Rosie, you're right. You're really right. We are kind of dangerous to your America. Come on, say amen. I'm feeling a little dangerous right here tonight. We are kind of dangerous to her America, ain't we? Praise God. What makes us fundamentalists is we really believe that she was a virgin when she gave birth to him. Come on now. That's not a fairy tale. She never knew a man. The Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, and it was an immaculate conception. How many believes that? Amen. You're on the way to fundamentalism. You better look out. We believe he really died on Calvary. I'm talking about the man that divided time. Praise God. He died on Calvary. He didn't swoon. It wasn't a soul sleep. He didn't faint. He was just as dead as any other person ever had been. But he didn't stay that way. The grave couldn't hold him. Corruption couldn't keep him. Amen. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, he got up out of the grave with the keys of death and hell. The Lord. He got up. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. I believe there's some more fundamentalist people here. Praise God. I really believe the Bible happened just like it recorded. I didn't have to be there when Moses stretched his rod out over the Red Sea. The children of Israel went over on dry ground. I didn't have to be there to believe it. I believe it happened just like he said. I believe on the day of Pentecost, all of them Medes and Persians and all the rest of them crowd spoke all of them languages. I believe they heard the disciples, that 120, glorifying God, every man in his own language. It was a divine unction and infilling of the Holy Ghost. Come on, say amen. I really believe 3,000 got saved that day. Come on, say amen. I believe Moses' mommy really made the ark out of bulrushes and hid him in the Nile River. Come on, say amen. I believe he's really raised in Pharaoh's house. Come on, say amen right here. I believe the Red Sea parted just like the Bible said. I believe they walked on shoes 40 years that didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't get threadbare. And though their soul loathed that light bread, I believe it failed just like the Bible said it did. I believe every bit of that. There's no question. We believe that. Come on now. We are dangerous to this society that we've been thrust into because they want to forget everything there is about God. They'd rather believe that their ancestors swung in trees by their tails. Boy, I've got some that swung by their neck, but I ain't had none swinging by their tail, I guarantee you that. We didn't crawl up out of a swamp slime pit somewhere. There wasn't no big bang except when God said, let there be light. Bang, there was light. Oh, God, this don't just happen, folks. God did it just like he wanted it done. Amen. Amen. We believe that. We understand that. But let me get back to walking with God. Enoch walked with the God of creation. He walked with the God of salvation. He walked with the master of the universe. The Bible said he stretched out the north over an empty place and hanged the earth upon nothing. He put all the stars in their silvery sockets and he called them all by name. So many Abraham couldn't number them. NASA scientists can't number them. Nobody but God will ever be able to number them. Come on, say amen. And he knows every one of them's name. Come on, say amen to me right here. Now, that's the God Enoch walked with. You know, I couldn't preach this without hearing from the prophet Amos. Amos said in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Don't fool yourself or delude yourself into believing that you're walking with God if you don't even believe God. If you don't agree with what God says. There's not many paths to God. There's only one. And that's humble submission to his will. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father except or but by me. He's the only way. The only way. And if you try to get there any other way except the door, you're a thief. Ain't none of them going to be in heaven. You're a robber. Ain't none of them going to heaven. Come on now. So when God deals with your heart in your walk or in your experience to follow after him and to walk before him and to share walking with him, he deals with your heart about something and you shrug it off. Don't think that God just forgets that. Don't think that he understands how you are and how you're made. Come on now. I've had people in the church brag, they know how I am. I'm not going to hold my tongue. Boy, it ain't a good thing to brag about. You're probably going to have gate trouble when you stand before God. Come on, say amen. Huh? Oh, God. Well, listen, I've been saved a lot longer than him. It ain't so bad on me now. I'm almost half a hundred. I'm just about there. But when I was in my early 20s trying to preach the gospel, I'd get on things, you could just feel it. You could look out across the faces of some of them in the congregation that's probably thinking something like this, you little whippersnapper. What are you doing trying to tell me? I've been in this so long, huh? Oh God, I prayed through recently. Matter of fact, I prayed through just last week, and I said, "Oh God, if it's a 10-year-old child behind the Bible stand preaching the gospel to me, if they get my hide, let me be humble enough to get in the altar and pray it through, huh?" Let me get humble enough to get in the altar and pray it through. Pride go up before destruction. The haughty spirit before fall. You cannot please God if you're proud. If you're haughty, you can't please him. Can two walk together except they be agreed? 1999, I had a great friend in the Church of God. He and I preached meetings together. And he got in this business of conducting these Y2K seminars. Y'all remember Y2K, don't you? I mean, they're telling us computers going to collapse. World's going to just unravel. We ain't going to get to buy gas. Ain't going to get no groceries. The bark of the beast is coming. Come on now. Well, those of us that believe what I preached this morning knew better than that. That mark ain't something they're going to slip on you. That mark of the beast, they're going to be standing in line to get it because they're so hungry. And their babies are shriveling up and dying. They're going to do it willingly. It ain't going to be cloaked. Huh? They're going to sign up for it on purpose. That's right. But my friend went around the country teaching Y2K seminars. It's happening. It's going to happen, he said. Whether you believe it or not, it's going to happen. I've read all the statistics. I've read the facts. I've done the research. And he said, let me tell you how to buy rice and store it. And he'd teach them how to buy rice. Man, they're putting it up 55-gallon drums. Y'all remember that? Y'all looking at me like you was a part of it. Don't make me nervous here. He is teaching them how to store water by purification tablets. Come on down. Man, I had lost people in my family. Got so shook up by that. They're buying cigarettes, burying them in the backyard. They're afraid they're going to collapse and they couldn't get cigarettes. Come on here. I went right behind that guy. I ain't nothing. I am nothing. And that brother's a whole lot smarter than I am. And he's done this a lot longer than me. But I tell you, just in my simple way, what the Holy Ghost dealt with me about. Some of them same churches I was preaching, and I go behind him, and God give me a message in the book of Amos. Amos said, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Huh? And I preach to people, whether you got rice or water or gasoline or kerosene or diesel stored up, that ain't really the point. The point is getting ready to meet God. Come on, say amen. I said, if we're people of the book, if we're students, disciples of the book, then we've got to believe the teachings of the book. Amen. He said, behold the fowls of the air. Come on now. He said, look at the lily of the field. Solomon in all his glory wasn't arrayed like unto one of these. Come on, say amen. Huh? He talked about our Heavenly Father feeding us, our Heavenly Father clothing us. Come on, say amen. I'm preaching, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You cannot get mad at the Bible and slap at it and sidestep it and try to find loopholes around it and still be in agreement with the God of the Bible. You've got to get in agreement with him if you're really going to walk with God. I'm going to quit here. Harmony, fellowship, friendship, all ideas of walking with somebody. I asked myself down at the end of this, God was talking to me. I believe he was. And I said, God, what is the purpose of this short little just three or four sentences about Enoch? Why did you leave? I didn't ask him why he left it for all of us. I said, God, why did you preserve that for me? And Enoch walked with God. Huh? Why out of all the great truths, all the mysteries of humanity and creation that the Bible pulls the cover off of and reveals to us, why did you think it necessary to leave me a few little verses about Methuselah's daddy walking with you? Huh? This was my first answer. This was me now, so don't shout too high. This was me. At first, my answer to myself was, well, surely God wants me to understand if I live as holy as Enoch, then I too can walk with him. If I am have the piety or the righteousness, the hunger, no doubt that Enoch had, then I too can walk with God. Now there is truth in those statements, but it didn't satisfy my soul. You understand what I'm talking about? It didn't fill me up like God speaking to you should. I wrote it down. I don't ever want to forget it. I don't think I'll ever forget it. God took me to the book of Genesis way back in the beginning. And he showed me a man and a woman made in his likeness, created in his image. And he showed me exactly what happened in the cool of every day. God came down and walked with them. They didn't earn it. They didn't deserve it. He just did it. We know their rebellion and their sin severed that relationship for many, many generations. God sent us the law, which was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ. But thank God Jesus came and he tore down the middle wall of partition and he gave us access to get back in the garden in the cool of the day and walk with God. Praise God. Now, I wrote it down. I don't think he was saying, if you're as spiritual or as holy or as pious as Enoch, then you too can have this experience. I believe God dealt with me. This is why I left it for you, Curtis Teague. I want you to know how much I enjoy walking with men. I want you to know it's my desire to walk with my master creation. Come on now. I'll tell you, he's not playing hide and go seek, folks. He's not a million miles away. He's near. He's here right now. Amen. He's close to every one of us. Not very far away. Praise God. And he loves to walk with us. He gets glory out of it. Huh? Praise God. Sometimes I go into Walmart and I'm just spiritually conscious of the fact God's walking in here with me. Woo! Praise God. I walk right down aisle number 10. Huh? God's walking right here with me. I go dig through the sporting goods. God is walking right through this place with me. Come on now. Huh? Amen. Get out of the car and walk across the parking lot knowing, oh, what a feeling, knowing God is walking right here with me. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to close here. Walking with God. Though he loves to walk with man, he loves to walk with women. Do you understand what I'm saying? He loves to walk with his children. Though he does get great delight and great joy in walking with us, just like our mother and father, Adam and Eve, we can hinder that fellowship. We can sever that divine relationship. We can put up roadblocks, build walls in between us and God. With our rebellion, with our stubbornness, with our lack of belief, with our laziness, we can hinder God from coming down walking with us. I felt like God dealt with me about this, and he spoke to me. This I've preached to me here tonight. I want to do everything in my power. As far as my part is concerned, to tear down every wall, every hindrance, every roadblock between me and God, because I want God to walk with me. I know you do too. We want God to walk with us. And I wanted to preach this. I really felt like God dealt with me about these first two services. I really wanted to preach this to us. Because it could be that in the nights ahead, listen, I'm nothing. Don't you think I'm going to come here trying to straighten everything out? I don't even know. I don't know you. You don't know me. That's not my heart. But I have done this long enough to understand that we can have revival if we do our part. Huh? And revival is a time of refreshing. It's a time of renewal. But it's also a time of reproof. It's a time of rebuke. It's a time of chastening from the Lord. But he chasteneth whom he loveth. And so it could be this week, if 90% of us is happy, 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 and we're shouting, rolling in the floor, walking the backs of the pews, and there's 10% miserable. Huh? Wondering why they can't feel God the way other folks are. That's the ones God's really interested in. He's dealing with your heart to search your life so you can get up on the victory line. And you can run victory laps around the church. You can lift your hands and holler hallelujah. Clean hands and a pure heart. Come on, say amen. He wants to get us to the place where we'll hear him, where we'll obey him. Somebody lift your hands right here and praise the Lord. Hallelujah.